good crowd here today. We got a bunch traveling and different things and seeing loved ones and some at the doctor and different things. Y'all remember Nate as he is having some issues, and Jonathan Carey's carried him to Children's this morning to see if they can get some answers. He's in a good bit of pain with his stomach. They can't, regional give him some answers, but not gotten any better. So y'all remember them as they're headed down to Birmingham and try to figure out what's going on. And I know we've had several sick this week, but most of us is back feeling better, so thank the Lord for that. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get started?
I'm having surgery next week. I'm having an ear implant, so y'all keep me on the prayer list.
Amen. Anybody else? I'd like to. Go ahead.
Jennifer Snard's dad, Glenn.
Yes. Y'all remember that family there. God use it for his honor and glory. I know he will. Also, can you remember Pam Hightower and her family? We got some down there seeing about her this weekend. So be much in prayer for them and their families as this time is going to be tough on them, I know, but the Lord will comfort them as only he can. Any other prayer requests? I'd like to say I think the good time we had last night. We went to Judgment Journey down in LaGrange. Had a real good time. We, of course, as good as it always is, as everything they put on down there is good. We learned a lot about one another in the van. Had a good time. They've got stop sign down there in LaGrange they don't really need. We'll talk about that later. We had a good time. I wish Pat had been with us. We would have got her. She'd been feeling young the time we got back. Had a good crowd, went and had just a great time. I was glad I went. Anybody else? Nobody else? We'll go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us. One more day to live, Father. We thank you for this gift. God, we ask you to be in our service. Most of all, God, we desire you to speak. Father, you can say more in one word than we can in a million. And God, I ask that you touch this service this morning. God, I ask you, heal those that are sick. Heal the ones, Father, that doesn't look like dust. There's any hope. God, we know you can take control. And Father, we got a special request this morning. It's Nate. God, we ask you to touch his body. God, be with Jonathan and Carrie and just give them answers. Help them to lean on you, as I know they will. And Lord, we pray that they get some answers quickly. God, I pray they feel better quickly. And Lord, we ask you to touch all the ones in our service this morning. God, each one of us are going through something that nobody else knows about. And Lord, you know all about it. I ask that you comfort us this morning. And most of all, I ask that you just excite us about you. You give us a desire that we may see the lost brought to you, and that, God, they be saved by your everlasting grace. God, we ask you to touch these singers this morning. God, let them sing for no other reason, honor and glorify you. For us, in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Than my faith, your struggles steal my breath away. My back's pressed up against the wall, with the weight of my worries stacked up tall. You're strong enough to hold it all. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. This war's not what I would have chosen. Do you see the future? No one knows yet. There's still good when I can't see the working of your hand. are the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I'm finding there's freedom. I lay it all on your shoulder. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. I will cast my cares on you. You're the anchor of my hope, the only one who's in control. I will cast my cares on you. I'll trade the troubles of this world for your peace inside my soul. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares, I will. Cast my cares on you.
Let's welcome everyone.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name,
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
I believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of His blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because He lives. Amen. Grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away. Amen. Face tomorrow.
morning again. Good to see everyone out, and appreciate the ones who stepped up and sing, since we've got several out today traveling different things. Done a great job. Corey was doing his job from up here. If I had been, hadn't worked that I've had, we'd all been in a mess. But the message the Lord's laid on my heart today is, if I had a title for it, would be Grow Where You're Planted. Been studying all week for this, been looking at things about seeds and different things. It's amazing how God is able to put us exactly where He wants us. I know many times we may begin to think, well, maybe I need to move to a different location, a different town. Maybe I need to go to a different church. Maybe go to a different school. Maybe find another spouse or whatever it is. Maybe there's something I need to do differently. I'm not talking about me personally. I'm trying to. But we begin thinking, maybe I need to do something different. Let me tell you about this, that God desires you to grow where you're planted, and God has planted you where He wants you. It's not happenstance that you wound up in Heflin, Alabama, or New Harmony Baptist Church, or wherever it is you work, or different thing. I believe wholeheartedly that God is in control. I believe that He ordained this thing before the world began, and He had you to be where it is you are. But we must understand something, that we need to grow where we planted. And you begin looking at a seed and how a seed works, and that's what we're going to do today. And there's if you begin studying about this, we are pretty smart in 2018. We got all kind of technology and all kind of stuff, but there's no really nobody that can tell you how a seed understands when it's time to grow. They can't figure it out. Some scientists say they believe they may have little tiny brains that does this, that lets it know. But I believe with all my heart that God put into that seed the knowing of when it's time to grow. And I believe also that God puts into every one of us of realizing that we can understand that it's time to grow. And church, we're in a time when shouldn't have to tell you this. It's time for God's people to start growing. For too long, we've been sitting there in that garden, in this garden, what is this church, in our communities, and we've been sitting there, and for some reason, we never decide to grow. But today, the Scripture begins teaching us that if we're going to grow, we've got to die to ourselves. I was in Bible college the other night, and the teacher said something that stuck with me all week. He said, "Do you realize that for you to live, something has to die every single day?" And I began thinking about that because I like to eat cows, and a cow has to die. I like to eat chickens, and chickens have to die. And you say, well, preacher, I don't eat meat. Well, let me tell you something. You realize that a plant is a living organism. It's alive. Something has to die for you to live. And thanks be to God today that a Savior had to die so I could live eternally. But listen, everything must die so we can live. So I want you to think about this seed today. As you turn your Bibles over to John chapter 12, verse number 24, this is a very, very familiar verse. I may read on down to 26 just to help you understand a little bit. But in John chapter 12, if you would stand to your feet right quick. John chapter 12, verse number 24, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life, unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Father, we thank you for this word today. God, we thank you for the scripture you've given us in this Bible. God, we thank you that you give us an ability to stand here this morning. And Lord, I pray there's one in our midst that doesn't know you. They will before they leave this place. And God, I pray we leave here with a new understanding that we are to grow where you have put us. And Father, you put everything inside of us that is needed to grow and to be fruitful if we'll just get in the right spot. And Father, we thank you for everything you've done. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When you begin looking at a seed, there's three things that a seed must have to begin growing. And number one, that thing is water. A seed must have water. And when you begin looking at that, a seed, as soon as it's put into the ground, it begins going through something that I really can't pronounce. I think it's called imbibition. And what happens is this seed begins taking on water, and the water begins making the seed coat soft and different things. But one thing it does is when the seed is put in there, it begins attracting this water, and the water makes these enzymes inside the seed start working, so that thing begins to sprout.
And I began to think about this. Is it not just exactly a lot what God does us? He tells in John chapter 4, verse 10. Listen to what he says. John chapter 4, verse 10, he tells us. He says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and we'd have given thee living water. You see, the moment we put a seed in the ground and it begins getting that water out of that soil, it begins getting living water. And me and you today, if we're ever going to live eternally, if we're going to live spiritually, we must have that living water, which is Jesus Christ. And it, boy, was just like a seed. You see, the moment that water is applied to our heart and our life, something happens. We begin to wanting to take root. We begin to wanting to grow and wanting to go further. Now listen. Any seed out there, if the seed is healthy and something happened to the seed, and you put that seed in the ground and that seed gets water, let me tell you something, my friend, that seed will begin to grow. And why is it today that God's people are put into a place and the Word of God is preached to them, it's taught to them, we can read it ourselves, we can hear it sang, we can get it in many different forms. Why is it that that seed that's put inside of us doesn't begin to grow? I tell you what it is, we don't have a desire for this thing, and we don't have a desire to grow as that seed does. That seed don't know any better. Now, when that seed is put in the ground, it has one object. If it's an apple tree seed, it's going to grow to an apple tree. If it's a corn, if a piece of corn, it's going to grow into a stalk of corn, or whatever it is, it's put in there, its purpose is going to come forth. And may I tell you today that God has each one of us placed exactly where He wants us. And He's planted us exactly where He wants us. And we got to decide within ourselves, will we determine to grow? That water activates enzyme, place a seed. By God, and listen, this is the part that people don't really understand. They don't know what makes it happen. They don't know why, what these enzymes are really. They don't understand really how it works. And the best I can tell you is when God made seeds before the beginning of time, He put inside of them something that nobody understands. It's exactly what's inside of man. There is something inside of man that is searching for God and doesn't even know it. You realize that today there's something that people try to fill with all other things. We'll try to fill it with money. We'll try to fill it with relationships or whatever you may want to put in there. We'll try to fill it with everything. But the thing that's missing is God. The thing that's missing is that living water. People strive and they strive to find their place and find what it is for their life. And all along, what they're needing to start growing is the living water. The living water. Now listen to this. When that water begins getting that seed, and that seed takes in the water, that seed coat begins to burst. And boy, I got to think about this yesterday, and although I felt terrible, I was about ready to run. You see that thing begin getting that living water in it, and that something had to burst out of it. I believe once you get Jesus in you, I don't believe you can keep it inside. I believe it has to burst, and it has to go somewhere, and you have to do something with it. And I began looking up on Google about how seed works, Pat. That's all I know to do. I looked up, and listen, the moment that thing bursts out of that seed, you know what happens first? That sprout goes into the ground. It goes down. You know why it does? Boy, this is good. It desires to have more of that living water. It desires to get more moisture because it knows something, that life is in the water. It realizes that its life is in getting more moisture so it can continue to grow. Church, I want to tell you something. If we get enough of Jesus in us, we'll want to get more and more and more, and we never can get enough. Amen. It begins sprouting down. And it begins doing it. Listen, and that root begins doing something. It's got two reasons it goes into the ground. It goes out of there to get more moisture, obviously. But you know what else it does? It goes to stabilize that seed. It goes to ground that seed to make it sure, to make it where it can't move. Because if something's going to grow, brother, it's got to be where it's got to be stable and it's got to be secure. And it's exactly what happens to us today when we understand who Jesus is, when we get Him in the right place in our life, and the living waters apply to us, we begin rooted and grounded in Him, and we begin to grow. Boy, it's beautiful. That seed is put in there, and the first thing that happens, when that seed coat bursts, that little root begins poking out of that seed coat. And it goes into the ground, and the deeper it goes, the healthier that seed is getting. The more water it gets, the better that seed can do. The better that seed can make it. And listen, as soon as it does that, guess what? Something else begins to happen. And when that root begins going down here, a sprout begins coming up here. And listen, this right here will make you want to shout now. And when that thing, because this root goes down and the sprout goes up and it pokes out of that ground, you know what it's headed towards? It's headed towards the sun. Amen. It's headed towards the sun. Listen, when that thing roots and it begins to sprouting, it must go towards the sun. It desires to go towards the sun. So why in the world do we sit here not desiring anymore the Lord? If we're truly a seed, we should be sprouting towards the sun. Boy, this thing's amazing how even a seed is ordained by God. Even something as tiny as a little seed, God has a reason for it and a perfect place for it. That root begins drawing in more water, and we should desire that living water. Listen, once the water is applied to our life, you should desire to have more and more of it. I hear people tell me that they're a Christian and different things, but I want to tell you, if you're a child of God and you do not desire it in the Word, then something's wrong. A seed desires more living water. If you tell me that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you have no reason to be around Him or His people, I'm going to tell you that something's wrong with you, because a seed desires more living water. The more water it gets, the more water it desires, and it continues to grow, it continues to get healthier. And if you get one thing out of this sermon, get this right here, a seed must have water. Water. Water is the most important thing. To every living organism there is in the world, water is the most important. It's most important. You can go days and days without food. Rebecca said she can't. She gets up 3 o'clock in the morning and eats. Y'all believe that? She weighs about 50 pounds. And she eats all these times. I told her, if I eat that many times, if I got filled out to eat, I wouldn't be able to get out of the bed in about a month. That'd be so big. But listen, we can do without food. We can go and do without a bunch of things, but you cannot live more than 3 days, they say, without water. I don't want to try it. You must have water. It's essential to every living organism. Listen, the living water is more essential to eternal life than it is this. If you're ever going to live eternally, you must have that living water applied to your heart and life. You must at some point come to know Jesus Christ. So a seed must have water. Must have water, the most important thing. Secondly, the seed must be placed in a proper environment. Now listen, we're talking about growing right now today. We're talking about growing where we planted. Number one, you got to have living water. Number two, you must be planted in the proper environment. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us how this happens to you and I. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1. I had 1 Peter chapter 5, 10, but I skipped over that one, Corey. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, a stranger scattered throughout Pontus. Now listen, we read that word scattered. We think about when we scatter something that it's misplaced. But this word in the original Greek and Hebrew didn't mean that at all. It means placed exactly where God wanted them placed. You have been strategically scattered where God desires you to be. I think that's something we need to understand today. We need to get it in our heads and think about it, because people want to move everywhere and do everything different because things are not going their way. We want to quit this. We want to quit that. And we need to understand the reason we're in that place is God has strategically placed us in that place, and He's got a reason for us to be there, and He desires us to grow where He puts us. How many of y'all in here plant a garden? Raise your hands. How many plant a garden? I don't. I can't raise my hand. Boy, we're all going to be hungry because Sandy's the only one that plants. How many plant flowers? How many plant something? Y'all need to help me here. We got a few people that plant something. Have any of y'all ever went and planted that thing and said, you know what? I want to grow some tomatoes, but I don't even know where I want to put them. I want to grow some tomatoes, so I think I'll throw some seeds out here on the highway. I want to grow some tomatoes, so I'll put it out here on the asphalt, or I'll put it on the concrete. No, we got more sense than that. Hey, how much more sense does God have to know that He wants to grow a church? He wants to grow a people that are concerned about lost souls, that are being fruitful and are multiplying. And don't you think He really understands where to plant us today? He knows exactly where to plant us. He knows the right time. I remember my grandpa, he used to wouldn't plant watermelon seeds till after some day in May or something crazy. He had some other time he wouldn't do something. He wouldn't plant okra at a certain time. And all these times he'd look at the almanac and all these different things. He thought he knew how to grow a garden. And he could do a pretty good job. But I want to tell you something, that God is way better than he is. God is way better than you are. He knows exactly where to plant you. He knows when to plant you. He knows exactly what he's doing. A seed must be put in a proper environment. Listen, you know how deep you are to plant a seed. Anybody know? They say a good rule of thumb is twice the depth of how wide the seed is. Some seeds don't need to be planted but an eighth of an inch. Some a half an inch. Some 1 inch. According on butter beans, a little bit deeper because it's bigger. So that's how you, I didn't know that. That's how you desire, how you figure out how deep to plant a seed. And I began thinking about this today. Boy, don't God know exactly how deep to put us.
Don't he know exactly how much to put us under and how much pressure to put us under and how he knows that everything's going to work. He knows exactly what it's going to take to get us to go. He knows exactly what's there. But listen, not only does it got to be in the right depth of soil, but one of the most important factors also is the temperature that it's put under. You know what the Bible says? It says, don't consider this fiery trial as something strange. He knows exactly what temperature to put you under so you can begin to grow. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. Things get pretty hot around my house sometimes. I understand because I go through some fiery trials myself. And so does everybody in here. But God knows exactly what temperature to get your seed to grow. Some seeds have to be cold. I didn't know this. An apple seed will not germinate until it's kept in the cold so many days. Has to be kept in the cold so many days before an apple seed will germinate. You say, well, what does that say? And I believe it's teaching us that maybe God knows at a certain time we don't need to hear from him. We begin to grow. We begin to search out and want to hear from him. So he stays cold to us, we think, for a little bit, although we know he's right there with us. But listen, a temperature is very important to a seed. Have you ever not wondered how that seed knows exactly when to start growing? How it knows exactly the time of year to do? And why in the world don't it begin sprouting in the wintertime? And all these things is, how does that seed, is that seed just smart? Brother, I want to tell you something. That seed was made by God. That seed was placed in the right place by God. It was given the water by God. It was given the nutrients inside it by God. And bless God, it was placed in the right, proper environment. Whew. Only a master gardener knows exactly how deep to plant. In the time of year, think about this now. Joseph in the Bible. Does it not look like you that Joseph was planted a little deep? You remember the time that Joseph was thrown in there by his brothers? And he's told, went and told his daddy that the animals had eaten him and all these things had happened to him. And they throwed him in that pit or in that dungeon. And I began thinking about that seed that was Joseph. And we all know that he come to save his whole nation. Does it not look like to you that seed was planted a little deep? I begin to think, God, if you're going to use a man, why in the world put him through all that? Listen, church, he knows exactly how deep to plant you. He knows in the right place to put you. What if Joseph had been left to be with his brothers and to be at home with his daddy? I tell you what would have happened. The nation of Israel would never have made it. But God knew exactly where to put him. He knew exactly the pressure to put him under. And not only was he thrown in a pit, but if you know the story of Joseph, how he went into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife accused him of rape and all those things, and how he didn't do any of it, but yet he was thrown into jail. He was thrown into the dungeon there. And how God brought him through that. Everywhere Joseph went, he prospered, even to the jailhouse, even at the end of his life there, or the end of this story, how he was in there in Potiphar's house. He was the head of that thing. He knew he saved Israel. God had him planted in just the right place at just the right depth. The right proper environment. You got to have the right depth, the right temperature, but you also got to have oxygen. A seed must have air. You see, it takes in carbon dioxide and puts out oxygen. So guess what? Me and you get to breathe. But it must have and be in a place where it begins getting the right amount of air. And I begin thinking about this. Oh, Lord, what does that mean to us? And boy, when it come to me, I like to have shouted again. And what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit of God? It's the air, isn't it? You remember where God made man and he done something different with man than he did everybody else. He created man out of dust of the ground with his hands. And after he created that perfect body, he done something different than he did all other creation. He breathed the breath of life in their nostrils. And then a man come to be a living creature. I want to tell you something. Until you're saved and the Holy Spirit of God enters you, you are not alive. You're not alive. You're simply a corpse that is walking around. But when that Holy Spirit of God is breathed upon you, then you become a living soul. Then you become an eternal being, and then you come to life. And listen, you look in the Scriptures, in many places in the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit of God is likened unto winds. We can't see the wind, can we? But you can see the effects of the wind. You went down there to Panama City Beach when that hurricane come in. I promise you, you could not have saw any of that wind. Yes, you could have saw the waves, which was the effect of the wind. You could have saw the trees being blown over, which is an effect of the wind, but you cannot see the wind, but you can simply see the effects. I want to tell you about a life that is filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You can't see it come in, but you can see the effects. A seed must have air, must have the right amount of air. Boy, it's amazing how much we are like a little seed. What's the whole reason of this seed getting all this stuff? Why in the world? I want you to think about this. I was going to get a seed and I didn't do it. You realize you could take one kernel of corn corn seed or whatever you want to call it. As the Bible said here, it called it a corn of wheat or seed of wheat. You can take one little wheat seed in here. I was going to try to get some and give you to try to help you understand this morning. But you can take one of those seeds and you can go and you can plant it in any field you desire. And the way that wheat must be planted, you can do everything the way you're supposed to. And guess what you're going to wind up with? You're going to wind up with a whole field of wheat one day. And that wheat never, hey, that one seed, we don't know, that thing probably will never end. It'll keep producing wheat, keep producing wheat, and keep producing wheat. The reason that God has you, the reason He applies the living water, the reason He applies the right temperature, the reason He puts it to right depth, is He desires you to be fruitful. That's the reason you was put in New Harmony Baptist Church. That's the reason you was put in Heflin, Alabama. You wasn't put here just to take up space. You was placed here to produce more fruit and to become fruitful and not just something to take up space. You see, when we plant a garden, we have a reason for it, don't we? We want to yield more corn. We plant one corn seed, hoping that thing's going to produce a stalk, and that stalk's going to present many ears of corn. And then we're going to redo the process every year. We're going to continue to get more corn and more corn, and all of this came from one little kernel of corn, or one little wheat seed. Continues multiplying. It never ends. So we must have the right amount of water, must be placed in a proper environment. And lastly, and we're going to be done quick, we're going to beat everybody today, we must have light. Must have light. Now listen, I began studying this out and I thought, well, Lord, you just messed up my sermon. I began reading and you realize this, that some seeds germinate better in dark than they do in light. And I began thinking, God, where in the world? I know you're perfect, and I know, but I studied this already, that you ordained those seeds exactly as you would have them, and it was going to make such a great sermon about light. But here I find that seeds, all of them, don't need light. And I began thinking, what in the world is going on here? And then I began thinking also about these people, such as Jennifer, Sennard's dad, who had never accepted the Lord, and all of a sudden he has come down with cancer. That's a dark place. I began thinking about my friend that I told you I prayed for a long time, how he never was saved until cancer come upon him, and he was in a dark place. I began thinking about all the people in the world that began to sprout when they're in a dark place, and it began making sense to me now. Listen, all seeds, some seeds need light to germinate, but bless God, some seeds got to be kept in a dark place. Some things in our lives got to be kept in a dark place. We must be put in a place where it don't seem like there's any light, and then those seeds begin to sprout. You ever known somebody that would just not have anything to do with the Lord? And then all of a sudden something comes upon them. Some tragedy happens in their life or something bad comes upon them. And all of a sudden that root begins hunting that living water. Have you ever noticed that? How some people must be brought to a dark place before that seed will begin to germinate. I'm telling you, God knows exactly what He's doing in His Word. He knows exactly what He's doing in everything of nature. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1 verse 19 and 20 that everything of nature shouts about God. And we have no excuse. If you had never read this written Word of God, you still don't have an excuse of not knowing about a living Savior. It's evident in creation. Even a tiny seed. Some have to be kept in the dark. Some have to be kept in the dark. But this is one thing for sure. Once all seeds germinate, and the little root I told you about goes in the ground, and the little sprout I told you about that comes up out of the soil, one thing's for certain. When that sprout comes out of that soil, all of them head towards the sun. All of them head towards the light. And at that point, all of them do need light. Every single plant that's out there that's ever been known to man, they go towards the light because they have to have light, because light produces their food. Something magically happens, and it's not magically, it's God ordained again, happens that nobody understands completely all about, is photosynthesis takes place. That's where the plant takes the sunlight and produces its own food out of that thing. It gets its power to survive from the sun. So that thing begins heading towards the sun, and it does something else that's miraculous. It begins putting on leaves. And now those leaves take in more of that sun. They take in more of the energy, and this thing gets healthier, and it gets healthier. And if you want to destroy a plant, you simply strip up all the leaves where it can't get more. It can't get any more sunlight. It can't get more nutrients. So it begins to wither and to die. So all seeds don't need light until they sprout the ground. And then when they sprout, they head towards the sun. Is that not amazing to you? And it's the sun that provides its energy. It's the sun that provides its growth. It provides its food. What does Jesus say about Himself? He says, I am the bread of life. am the bread of life. You eat of me, you'll never hunger again. You'll never thirst again. He says, I am the living water. I am the bread which sustains you. I am everything. Listen, every single thing that me and you need to thrive and to be fruitful, God placed all around us, all in us. He places it just exactly the right spot. We are simply just a little bitty seed that God has planted somewhere. And not only has he planted this place, not only had he made... Have you ever wondered why God made you? Have you ever wondered? I have. Of all the things in the world, why did God make me? And I believe the Bible teaches that we are made to be eternally. Our soul is made to be eternal. Yes, this old body is going to die. It's going to go back to the grave. It's going to give Ben and Keith something to do one day, and I hope I outlive them. But anyway, it's going to do all these things. It's going to die. But listen, the soul is going to live eternally. God made that thing that way. And listen, he didn't just make me just to take up this, say, I've got another person down there. He didn't just make me to do that. You know what? God made me to be fruitful and to multiply. What did he say to them? Right there, every time, even after the flood, he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. Spiritually speaking, we are made, we are planted, everything's put in us to multiply, to bring about more. God's desire is that none perish, but that all come to repentance in Jesus Christ. Yes, he knows exactly who's going to be saved when he made them. Because he's God. He knows all things. But I believe plainly the Bible teaches us that every man gets a choice in this thing. Every man at some point, the Spirit of God will speak to his heart and will prick his heart and let him know he's a sinner. At this point, he must answer a question. Am I going to be the seed that God has me to be? I know God is speaking to me. I know God's planted to me. And he's wanting to add that living water. Will I soften my seed coat and put it? Listen to this. Some seeds are made harder than others. Boy, ain't this good. Some seeds are made harder than others. And gardeners that plant a certain type of crop or that plant a certain type of flower, they know what seeds that are. And those seeds, they say you can soak them in warm water. You can soak them in different things. My grandmother used to soak okra seeds in Clorox. I don't know how healthy it is for you, but she did it. But listen, something else you can do is you can scratch them a little bit. You can scratch the seed coat to speed up the process. Boy, all of this sounds just like me and you, don't it? Sounds just like us. Today, will you grow where you've been planted? I want to tell you something. I've told you the three things that a seed or a plant must have to grow. Number one's water. That's provided. Jesus himself says, I'm the living water. In many places, this is called water, this word of God. Pure water. You must be placed in a proper environment, and I believe I've got enough trust in God that he put me exactly where he wanted. I question sometimes, God, why couldn't I have been over there where so-and-so is? Looks like things going good over there. He said, boy, ain't where I want you. He said, God, why couldn't I be over here? Or why couldn't I have done this? Or why in the world couldn't I have been a doctor and make all this money? Why couldn't I have been this? And all this, why couldn't I have been all these things? He said, all along, I've got you right, planted right where I wanted to plant you. Right in the right row. Right in the right amount of water. I provided this water for you. He's got me in the water. He's got me in the proper environment. He says, I am the light. If you'll just head towards me, if you'll just keep coming towards me, I'm going to provide all the energy you need. You just keep coming up. I want to ask you, has anybody in here ever saw a plant go downwards that was in a healthy environment, that was given water, was given all these things? Have you ever saw a plant go down and hunt something dark? It won't do it. It can't do it. It'll starve. It must go towards the sun. Today, church, if we're going to be what God has planted us to be, we're going to be the fruitful. We're going to produce more fruit. We must do exactly like what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. We have to die to ourselves. It abideth alone. I challenge you to do something. Go to Walmart or to your favorite feed store and buy a seed. Go buy you a pack of seeds, because you probably can't buy one seed. But buy you a pack of seeds, and you take that pack of seeds out, and you save you one of them. Save you just one seed. You plant the rest of those seeds. And that one seed you put on your windowsill or put on your kitchen counter or your chest of drawers, wherever you want to put it, you put that one seed right there, and you never put it in the ground, and I will make you a promise.
When springtime comes around or whatever time that other seeds are blooming, this one right here that has never been put in the ground, that has never died to itself, had never done anything, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be one seed. It's going to still be right there where I placed it. Those other seeds that you planted, they'll begin sprouting. They'll begin bringing forth whatever it is they was made to be. Whether it's apple trees or flowers or whatever it was they were made to be, they'll begin to grow because they've been placed in an environment, been given the right amount of water and the right amount of light, and God began working. You know, as I've heard, I've never been a gardener, never planted a garden. But I've heard a lot of farmers talk. You know the reason? They used to have these revivals in the morning times. You'd hear them talk about it. That's during the planting and gathering crops and different things. But I've heard all of them say that they would do all they could do. They'd prepare the ground. They'd throw the seeds in the ground. But ultimately, whether that seed grown or not was up to God. God had to send water. God had to send the right temperatures. God had to send everything for that thing to multiply as it should. Church, that's exactly where we are today. I believe the seeds have been placed right where they're supposed to be. And it's up to God. And I have no doubt in my mind that He's willing to grow something great out of you. He's willing to grow the prettiest rose bush you can ever imagine, or the prettiest a field of corn you can even think about, just out of you. He's provided everything you need. Will you grow where you're planted? As we come with a song, I guess Pat will play this morning. Everyone would please stand. I want you to think about how great God is today. That He loves enough and He cares enough that He put even in a tiny seed. I don't know the smallest seed. I guess it would probably be a mustard seed. The Bible talks about one of the smallest seeds. Everything in that mustard seed is put exactly what it needs to multiply in it. God saw fit that one seed had everything in it. The enzymes and all is put there from the moment that seed comes to be. We don't know how it happens. God does it. Everything you need to multiply and be something great is right there already in you that God placed there. What it's going to take to see it multiply spiritually is the living water applied, the right temperature applied, and light. Will you grow today, or are you just happy being by yourself? Are you just happy being that one seed that just says, I ain't going to go in the ground, I'm happy where I'm at, I'm going to be my seed, and that's all I want to be? Then bless your heart. But I pray today, church, that we desire to be planted right where we are, to grow right where we are, and head towards the sun as we sing.